Perks card for discounts around the city. You'll be able to donate in the name of OutFM. You'll be able to cut down on-air fund drive days. And this will support WBAI for as little as $10 a month. That's 33 cents a day.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and on the web at WBAI.org. The time now is exactly midnight, and that means it's time for Night Shift.
Fascinating. fascinating.
I'm naked. I'm talking to you like you were real. Go to hell.
The feeling.
everyone. This is Spike Lee. You're listening to Night Shift on WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial.
How long has it been since you've slept? How long has it been since you've slept?
I don't know. It's funny. I never seem to get tired. But I know I haven't slept since this thing began.
Halfway around the world.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty sick of you.
Yes, but you love me.
Night shift again.
I'll be damn late.
Thank you. tasteless, orderless crud.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
I can't do anything. I can't go to my sister's. I can't even. I can't even go home. I don't know what to do.
Paul, I know what you're talking about.
What do you mean?
tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Night Shift, where life is like science fiction. The phone number here is 212-209-2900, and you can join in on the conversation. It is 2014. It is January. And we're talking about change. And I want to welcome my guest, the mystery guest.
Hey.
How are you?
Living the dream, right?
Are you going to reveal yourself this year? Well, is this
I
the year
so.
That you will reveal yourself?
I think so.
Now, who is this young person next to you?
I have no idea.
The unidentified.
This is the
unidentified guest.
Another mystery guest.
You're another mystery guest? And what?
Well, there's only one.
You're the unidentified guest.
Some names should just never be mentioned.
I see. So you are the guest whose name shall not be mentioned?
Who must not be named.
She who must not be named. Okay.
The Voldemort reincarnates.
The Voldemort reincarnation.
Slytherin in the house.
Slytherin in the house. Well, I do have a number of stories. Life is like science fiction. We will be talking calls. But I do want to ask you, I want to ask both of you this question for the Night Shift theme.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you have to get out of your electronics now.
I'm completely listening to you.
Guest who will
I
not be named.
No,
you're not. You've got to put that down. Turn face down. Face down. No looking. Okay, so here's my question. When it comes to change in your life, do you embrace it?
No.
Or do you fight it?
Fight. I hang on like the last chopper out of Saigon.
I understand. So you,
I'm being honest.
You're being honest. So you do not embrace change.
No. I fight, and then, oh, this is happening anyway? Okay.
I understand. And then does that work for you? Do you end
the
up
fighting?
Yes. Does it?
It's natural.
You think it's natural?
I do.
You don't think that you can ever learn to embrace change? Or do you think there's any advantage to that?
To the fighting?
Well, okay. To the fighting and then to the
no,
embracing.
No, it's incredibly painful.
Okay.
And sometimes worthless. But it's an instinctual reaction, perhaps in my case, hereditary as well. My mother.
Hereditary?
My mother hates change.
Your mother hates change.
Oh, my. And I'm...
That's
I'm,
a t-shirt.
My mother hates change, yeah. And I'm slowly realizing I'm my mother's daughter. So, but no, I think that is a really broad statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on the type of change. Sometimes stuff comes and you're really unprepared and not ready for it. But
often that.
But you've got no choice but to roll with it.
Well, according to you, you do have a choice. You could fight it till the bitter end.
Till the bitter end.
So that's what you'd say. You don't embrace change. Now, let me ask you.
It's difficult.
It's difficult to embrace change. And once you do submit, let's say, to the change, generally, percentage-wise in your life, is it always for the better? Usually for the better? Sometimes 50-50?
Mathematically, it's 50-50. Sometimes it's nice. I mean, you know, sometimes it's, you know, Windows XP to Vista. And no, it's not good. And then you hold on and you wait for, you know, Windows 7 and you're all right again, or Windows 8. Or it's, you know, going from iOS 6 to iOS 7. Like, no, this is horrible. When's the next thing? So, you know, while you're waiting for the new change, you're just stuck dealing with the change that you're in.
Well, you said a few things there that are telling. You said waiting for the next change.
Yeah, it always changes.
It always changes.
No matter how, even if you're in the middle of bad, you know it's going to change. It has to change. Not everything, it's not static. It's cyclical.
Well, let me ask you this then. Guest who will not be named, you better be paying attention because you're next. Okay. Now, my question to you is...
Are you scolding your guests?
No, I'm just, you know...
Admonishing?
No.
Warning.
So, my next question to you then is, do you ever... Are you ever the architect of your change?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's... It's fun that way. It gives you the illusion of control. Because you're like, change is going to happen anyway. So why not be participatory in the process or get ahead of it and plan your own changes?
That all sounds good, but that's not what you do generally, you said.
No. It's fun when you can do that. I mean,
I
that's
understand.
A way of dealing with your life. If you're just sitting around waiting for change to happen to you, wow, that's really not cool. So, yes, of course, many times I am the architect.
Many times.
I think so.
Percentage-wise?
Just
in your life. It's not a judgment.
No, no, no. I know. I'm thinking. Maybe 30, 40%.
You're the architect, 30%.
I think so.
Oh, that's
now,
honest.
Now, things don't always go as according to plan.
Well, you know.
And my defense, I think 30, 40% is high because change or whatever work you're doing takes time, as well as dealing with whatever change is going on and what might be coming at you. So, you know, to take the initiative to do anything, I think, is to be applauded and commended.
My soundbite here. Fascinating.
No comment. And you?
No, I don't answer right away. I have to ask the guests first.
I see.
Guest who will not be named.
Is it my turn to share my opinion on change?
Yes. Yes, answer the questions first, not your opinion.
Of course, she cracked her knuckles first, so yeah, I'm a little afraid.
You're a little afraid. All right, so the first question to you is, do you feel you embrace change or do you fight it?
Depends on the convenience, honestly. I feel like if it's change that's going to benefit me, then I'm going to embrace it. But if it's change that I don't like, then I'm going to fight it and try to salvage
hold on to what you had.
Even if it's toxic and it's no longer healthy or good for me anymore.
You'll hold on to it.
Because, you know, I don't want to look forward because I thought what I had was valuable, when in reality it wasn't what I should have. So.
And are you ever the architect of change? Do you? How often would you say you initiate change?
I usually try not to. If it's like letting people go, I might just self-sabotage. If someone's unhealthy in my life, I'm not going to outright tell them. I'll probably sabotage it and be passive-aggressive so they don't want me anymore, because I don't want to be the person that, you know, lets things go and then regrets it later. I'd rather ruin it secretly or in a passive way.
And what about things that have nothing to do with people so much?
Then, if it's me and my habits, then yeah, I do my best to change it because I want it to benefit me in the future. Like, for example, doing good in school. I did horrible in high school, and in college I did not want to do that. So I switched around my habits because I did not.
So you embraced change. You were the architect of change.
Yeah, but that's because it was change that I wanted. I wanted to leave for school, and I wanted to have friends that were on the same page as I was, or even a little better. So it was just something that I was looking for. But if it's a change that I don't like, then I'm gonna fight and try to keep what I had. Depends on if it's something that I think is good for me. All change is good. Even the bad change is gonna make you stronger, but you have to, a lot of us don't see it that way. A lot of us think that change, losing things and losing people and losing what we like, or having to get rid of it or change it in some way, it's going to be negative. Because we liked what we had. But in reality, change happens for a reason.
You firmly believe that?
Yeah, and sometimes it might not be you, it might be the other person or the other thing, or it might be something that'll make you stronger, because who wants to be stagnant? You're not gonna grow.
Mr. Guest.
Yes.
Do you have any comments on that one?
No.
I like that phrase there, the convenience of change.
Yeah, it's rarely that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's rarely convenient.
Yeah.
Well, the phone number here is 212-209-2900. And part of the reason I have that theme is, you know, it's a new year, and we're coming into a new year. There's a lot of change. According to Byron, I don't know if you listened a few weeks ago, Byron said the reason that things are changing this year is because of the reverse in the sun's polarity. Did you know that the sun reversed its polarity?
I actually found that out today on, we were recording some episodes of Star Talk.
I see. With Dr. Neil Tyson.
Well, we actually had a guest host, an expert on Venus. He was fascinating.
An expert on Venus?
Yes.
That's like something to put on your
resume. He's an astrobiologist.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Funky, I think, is his Twitter handle.
Dr. Funky.
Yeah, he's great. Mm. But I did not know that, and that was one of the things that came up, that the sun did sort of reverses polarity.
And what did they say? It was
one of those
in passing.
Yeah, it was really in passing. Like that's the high level that they speak at. That something like that was said in passing. It's like, wow, really? Okay. I really need to get back in school.
Well, the sun did. We covered it here on Night Shift, of course.
Of course. But I mean, I'm wondering if we should be checking. Well, Byron's medication.
Well, because you know, Byron's theory. You want to know Byron's theory on the sun?
I would love
Byron's
to hear it.
Byron's theory is that. Excuse me. Hello.
Byron's theory of the sun is.
Byron's theory is that the sun reversing polarity means that if you were doing bad last year, you'll be doing really good this year. But if you were doing good last year, you'll be doing really bad this year. So
it
depends on which side.
But what if you were stagnant for the next three?
Well, then it's going to change. You'll be the reverse of stagnant. You'll be active. This is Byron's theory. You're going to say Byron is full of nonsense?
Yes.
Byron,
on this?
Byron, are you listening?
And I say it with love.
Mystery guest says you're full of nonsense.
I mean, I just might as well crack open my horoscope for that level.
That does not sound good.
You don't go with Byron's theory either, Tom?
It sounds evil to me. I don't know.
That's
sounds
so
evil.
True.
Evil. So
not
now,
biblical.
Like,
changing polarity?
Well, it did. The sun did change its polarity. I mean, that's a fact. It only happens every 13,000 years or something like that. 11,000. All right. So who else is here? Hello?
You know, speaking of astrology, which in ancient times was astronomy, we're about to enter the year of the wooden horse.
The year of the wooden horse.
Dynamic change. Mm. This is the Chinese horoscope. It's coming between the 31st and the 4th of February.
Okay.
And apparently, yeah, there is going to be a lot of change for everybody. Dynamic change.
Dynamic change, as opposed to like
they're
that
leaving the
static
water
change. Static change.
Space, and now we're gonna be
like static change. Like
serious change.
I feel it already.
You feel it.
Yeah, because if that wasn't happening, there'd be no change whatsoever.
Well, the sun is not the only change.
It's not just the sun.
The surfaces of the sun.
The what of the sun?
Little activity lately.
You sound like he's like staring into his navel as he's talking.
Maybe he's from Colorado.
Of sunspots lately. I read an article on the BBC.
And you read about sunspots?
Yeah. And apparently the last time this happened was 10,000 years ago, and there were very, very cold winters.
Oh.
So in spite of the global warming, the planet is warming, but there are other cosmic forces.
You don't think the weather patterns are changing because the ice caps are melting and it's our water influences the weather greatly? You think it's a cosmic thing?
It's not just that. It's actually
the cosmos.
Lack of activity on the sun's surface.
On the what?
For very cold winters.
Lack of activity on the what?
Lack of activity on the sun's surface. No sun.
Lack of activity on the sun's surface. And that's what's causing
crash a few days ago that supposedly brought the northern lights as far down as Massachusetts. But that's it. There is nothing at all happening on the surface of the sun.
Nothing's happening.
A big cold winter.
Big cold winter, like another ice age.
It's going to be the last one.
Yes. Well, they did say that there was a lot of cold weather last time that this happened. So that even though the sun is even though the Earth is there's global warming, the sun is going to make it cold.
Yes.
So that'll just
cooling,
make.
But it's making cold for us.
Gotcha. So basically, the people who are in denial of global warming can just go, look, it's cold.
Yeah, now they're going to go, yeah, see, I told you so.
There it is. And what's your name, sir?
We'll leave it in the ether.
You're the guest who cannot be named. I understand. I'm surrounded by unknowns. The question is to you then, sir, do you embrace change or fight it?
Oh, that old question again. Well,
yes, it's about.
I guess underage guests. I have my own names for your guests. So underage guests say that if it's good for her, she embraces it. And I guess I'm the same way.
Ah, so you agree with the underage guests?
Yes.
Okay. Underage guest?
And the old hag guest.
The old... What about?
I wanted to call it something even less nice than that, but not in a personal way.
No, naturally.
She needs some rewrites.
needs
her, her character needs some rewrite.
Her character needs some rewrites.
Yes.
Okay.
Should and I right give back her, at you,
should
Sunshine.
I give her some like funky dialogue to make her sound more hip? She can
no,
speak
something
in...
more. You know, it's so stereotypically what she said. I don't even believe her own thoughts.
She's not real. She's actually a program. She's not even real.
She worked in on the character and said, okay, so let's talk about change in this and this way. And I don't know. I hope so, at least.
You feel she was okay.
I'm a hologram.
You're a hologram. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello, yeah.
Yes. Who is this?
This is Austin.
Hey, Mike.
Austin. And who else is here?
Tyrone.
Tyrone, stay there for a second. Austin. You called before when Steve called, I remember. And
right.
So do you embrace change or do you reject it?
I neither embrace nor reject. I kind of fight it, but I accept it. So
you neither embrace it nor fight it.
Oh,
you just
I
accept
mean, you
it.
No, no, no. I it depends on what the issue is. If it's a minor thing, I kind of try and roll with it. If it's a major thing, I try to find an alternate way of maybe changing and not changing all at once, and maybe changing in increments, if possible.
So you don't like big change. You'd rather like have a little gradual change.
Yeah, most of the time, something that I could adapt to gradually, although sometimes that jarring change is good because it can take you to a serendipitous place that you didn't know you could get to otherwise.
And well, now you're talking like the underage guest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except so you don't, I'm not underage. I'm an old fogey.
Oh, you're an old hag or an old fogey.
I'm an old hag,
who agrees with the old hag,
right.
But has the philosophy of the underage guest.
I had my sex change 15 minutes ago just so you could call me an old hag, so we're on the same plane
here. Same plane.
And Obamacare wins again.
There you go.
Right.
And I didn't have to go on the website. They just said, hey, boom,
thank
go
you,
ahead.
Austin. Yeah. All right, Tyrone?
Yep.
Tyrone, you there?
Yep,
all
I'm
right.
here.
So, question, do you embrace change or do you reject it?
I do both. I've been fortunate. A lot of decisions I've made maybe in the last 6 months, they've been the decisions that I've kind of had to accept, but it's been really good because it was like the best thing to do. So, in some senses, I like let life play out, and if I see something inevitable, I let it happen. But I guess, you know, in terms of relationships, it's a little harder, but with things or situations, I'm not so stuck. I'm not someone who really attaches myself so deeply to things that I have no control over.
Very enlightened.
Yes.
Are you a Buddhist?
You know what? Actually, I've been reading a lot of Buddhist stuff. I mean, I actually feel very close to that way of orientating myself towards life.
Yeah, that came through.
I wouldn't call myself a Buddhist. You know?
But you're open to the teachings.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's just common sense. You know, I like the practicality of something that seems like something that's irrefutable.
The practicality of irrefutability.
There you go.
I understand. That'll be your book.
Yeah, I like that. And t-shirt.
The practicality of irrefutability. And in my treatise...
Say that three times faster, you get a free button.
There it is.
Hey, if you can't do anything, roll with it. You got to.
I understand. Tyrone, how long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, man, at least 10 years.
10 years? Are you obviously see things by now. And what makes you listen? What makes you keep coming back to Night Shift?
Oh, Night Shift is a great, great show. I mean, you break up. I mean, I love all the politics and I love all the information. But more shows like Night Shift need to be doing prime time. I think your show could appeal to a vastly younger audience. Your show reminds me of like Joe Frank's show on out in California. It's just freaking weird. I mean, it's just different, you know. And it's so entertaining.
Weird and entertaining.
Yeah.
Night Shift. I like that. Who else is here? Hello.
Yeah, I think I'm the fat woman
you're
talking about, whose sister and son. took over my apartment?
That was clearly another frequency.
Well, no, this is Hudson View Terrace. And the problem was that they went out to Long Island with someone.
In another room.
On another frequency.
Left my mother on the floor in the hospital.
This is the fat
one.
Oh, yes. We had lunch. I barely got away.
Without telling anybody. And then...
Ma'am?
She gets a will.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Sure.
What's your name?
I'd rather...
I understand. You're going to stay in the unknown majority here.
It's safer that way.
I can tell you about city agencies.
Okay.
A lot. And,
wait, can I ask you one question?
Not safe.
I understand. And what about you? Do you embrace change or do you fight it?
I'm getting older now, so... And I really, really like this neighborhood, and I really like the apartment. But to have your sister and your nephew go behind your back and throw your mother out of her home, and then throw you out, and then take over the will, it's getting a little bit too much.
So what have you done to fight your sister?
Besides a carving knife, I don't know. And I probably wouldn't say on the radio, but,
there's a crime you're going to commit that you don't want to say.
I think they're after the will.
I understand.
And, that's one thing. I know my mother wanted me to have the house, but, it was just so creepy because she's extremely rich. Her husband was the director of residence at Bronx State, and she always had a good life. Whereas I got my master's when I was 48, or something like that. But no, it was just too conniving and underhanded.
And what made you want to call our show to tell us this?
They could call Hudson View and tell them. They can call my sister and tell her, too.
When you say they, you
back off.
You mean my guests? Like, I think the mystery guest is very good at that. She calls up and tells people to back off all the time.
I do, actually.
Okay, yeah, call Hudson View.
All right, mystery guest, did you write that down?
I did.
Call Hudson View. She's going to call them tomorrow.
And money. Money, of course, has a lot to do with things.
Money.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Money changes everything. I think the great Cyndi Lauper said that.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks
a
lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Well, life is like science fiction. And the phone number here is 212-209-2900. And, Mr. Guest, I'm going to let you start with the first story because there are a number of things that are changed, and then I want to go to the guest who is not paying attention.
I am paying attention.
Please. You're not even on the mic. But
she was completely in tune with our last caller.
I see.
That's actually true.
Yeah, because the last caller is talking about something else that we're not talking about.
Yeah, I had no idea what she was saying.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mr. Guest.
Well, we have a story here from the BBC News, which means it's completely accurate.
Mm.
You know, my faith in BBC...
is stronger than...
It really is. Well, they have Doctor Who, so why would I not love them?
They do.
And this is an article about night work throws body into chaos.
Yes, this is an important. This is important. Listen to this.
Which makes me a little
nervous. You too. Listen.
You too, as in the band?
No, the one next to you.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Doing the night shift throws the body into chaos and could cause long-term damage, warns researchers.
Oh, shoot.
I know. Yikes. Good night, everybody. I'm screwed.
I'm screwed for life. Is it?
Shift work has been linked to higher rates of type 2 diabetes.
Shift work.
Yeah, right? Not shiftless.
Wow.
Shift work.
Okay, go ahead.
It's been linked to type 2 diabetes, heart attacks, and cancer. Well, yay.
Working at night can cause diabetes, heart attack, and cancer?
Yep.
How does working at night cause cancer?
Dude.
Please. I want to know. Please.
The scientists at the Sleep Research Center in Surrey have uncovered the disruption shift work causes at the deepest molecular level. Experts said the scale, speed, and severity of damage caused by being awake at night was a surprise. The human body has its own natural rhythm, or body clock, tuned to sleep at night and be active during the day. It has profound effects on the body, altering everything from hormones and body temperature to athletic ability, mood, and brain effects are quite severe. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes,
brain function. Sorry about that. The study, published in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, followed 22 people as their body was shifted from a normal pattern to that of a night shift worker. Blood tests showed that normally 6% of genes, the instructions contained in DNA, were precisely timed to be more or less active at specific times of the day. Once the volunteers were working through the night, that genetic fine-tuning was lost. Oh my God. Can we get it back?
Wait a minute.
I know.
Go ahead. No, I
didn't. You said, wait a minute.
I didn't.
And I literally.
I know you really did. Wait a minute.
Right. Yeah, silly me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Over 97%, this is a quote, over 97% of rhythmic genes become out of sync with mistimed sleep.
That's a good name for a band.
Rhythmic genes?
Rhythmic genes.
I know, right?
And now, live from New York, the Rhythmic Genes. Go ahead.
We love you! Okay. Over 97% of rhythmic genes become out of sync with mistimed sleep.
And that's the name of the first album.
Mistimed sleep?
No, out of sync.
Out of sync. I'm never going to get through this sentence.
The Rhythmic Genes. No, I like the Rhythmic Genes, out of sync.
Their first album, out of sync. And this really explains why we feel so bad during jet lag. Oh, it couldn't be the uncomfortable seats, could it? Or the lack of real food or service. I'm a little bitter. I'm a little bitter on my last cross crunchy flight.
You know, don't even get me going about plane travel.
I know, right? It's so cheery. That's why you feel so bad during jet lag or if we have to work irregular shifts, said Dr. Simon Archer, one of the researchers at the University of Surrey.
Damn. So I'm like precancerous just by doing the show.
Dude, you're one big ball of illness
okay.
right now.
All right, finish, please. Oh, I don't know what to say.
Fellow researcher Professor
Dirk Gently, you said?
You know what? That's his name right now. His name is Dirk Gently. And I'm sorry, sir.
Professor Dirk Gently.
Yes, and his holistic detective agency said every tissue in the body had its own daily rhythm, but with shifts, that was lost, with the heart running to a different time to the kidneys, running to a different time to the brain.
Whoa.
Yikes.
I only thought
can't they just roll with the changes?
Wow. So we're not in charge of our own bodies.
No, they've got their own
body
agenda.
Clock is like, whatever you're doing, we object. We're going to fail.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Everything is its own little kingdom. All right, he told the BBC, quote, it's chrono chaos. Another great
group. Chrono chaos.
Now we have a tour.
There it is.
We have the Rhythmic Genes touring with chrono chaos.
Chrono chaos. I like that.
Oh, my God. I would put that on a T-shirt.
Yes.
Chrono chaos. It's like living in a house. There's a clock in every room in the house. And in all of those rooms, those clocks are now disrupted, which, of course, leads to chaos in the household.
That's because, like, alarms going off all the time.
Right. You know? Wow. And now that I think about it, every clock in my house is slightly off.
All right. Go ahead. Wow.
Deep. Studies have shown...
I'm in a state of chrono chaos.
Yes, you are. Right, because your rhythmic genes are out of sync.
My rhythmic genes are... I'm in a state... That's the lyrics. I'm in a state of chrono chaos because my rhythmic genes are out of sync.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to now add baseball caps and jackets.
There it is. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Studies have shown that shift workers getting too little sleep at the wrong time of day...
I'm a shift worker.
You're a shift worker. Getting too little sleep at the wrong time of day may be increasing their risk of type 2 diabetes and obesity.
So that means most college students are damaging themselves throughout college with the staying up late and studying and all the cramming and all that.
Oh, you're assuming they're studying when they're staying up late.
Well, they're up late. They're up late.
They're up late.
In the middle of chrono chaos.
So, well, what about babies that don't sleep at night? It's chrono...
Well, when you have a baby, you're on the path to...
Destruction.
Ruin.
But it's chrono chaos from the crib, man.
Chrono chaos
from
the
crib.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I was a little night stalker as a kid, man. Mm. Oh, dear.
Chaos from the crib.
Others' analyses suggest heart attacks are more common in night workers. Professor,
is this
true? Listen, this is what the article says.
Again, I'm just like,
you know, there's a link. You know, I guess you would have to go and explore. You know, that's really true.
I want to put Chronocast in Google and tell me what comes up.
Oh my God! Probably some band in Bosnia. Professor Dirk added, "We know
Dirk.
We of course know that shift work and jet lag is associated.
I'm sorry.
We know that shift work and jet lag is associated with negative side effects and health consequences. They show up after several years of shift work. We believe these changes in rhythmic patterns of gene expression are likely to be related to some of those long-term health consequences." Professor Hugh Piggins, a body clock researcher from the University
of Manchester.
Professor
Hugh Piggins.
Doesn't that sound
like...
He
had a great childhood. You know that.
Oh, yeah, totally. But doesn't he... He sounds like he would be like a professor at Hogwarts.
Exactly.
Do you have Hugh Piggins?
Yes.
Yes.
Professor Piggins.
Yes, for charms.
He's fat, of course.
Of course he is.
Go ahead. It's like... All right, go ahead, please.
He's from the University of Manchester. Of course he is. He told the BBC that the study indicated that the acute effects are quite severe. It is surprising how large an effect was noticed so quickly. It's perhaps a larger disruption that might have been appreciated. He cautioned that this was a short-term study, so lasting changes are uncertain. But you could imagine this would lead to a lot of health-related problems.
Well, I've been doing this show for, like, you know, 20 years.
You're a sick puppy.
Damn.
Stand-up comics, musicians, bartenders, there are a whole bunch of us that work at night.
That are gonna die.
Well, we're all gonna die, honey.
Yeah, but you're gonna die quicker because you're up and late.
Yeah, well, quick's a relative term.
Did you hear that? Guest who cannot be named?
I'm gonna take a
Did
nap right now.
You know that you're engaged in Chrono Chaos? You're engrossed in Chrono Chaos right now. But
yeah.
we're in Chrono Chaos giving you this story.
I'm
risking our lives.
I'm gonna take
to
a nap and try and save myself.
Right, hello, you're on the air.
No.
Yes.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. You realize that you're risking your life by listening to the show. You know
I am.
Okay.
Badass.
You know, Buddhism needs some rebranding. Are we here?
The rebranding of Buddhism. That's a good
title.
Yeah,
you know that people call in and they say they sort of like dabble in Buddhism. No one ever calls up and says, I'm a little bit into Southern Baptism, you know? I mean, it's like you got to get with the Jehovah's Witnesses and knock on doors at 5 in the morning or something. Hang out with the purple one and say, yo, you know, I got this heavy-duty Buddhism. It's not really a God thing,
but
check it out.
You know? Did you say hang out with the purple one?
Yeah.
Dude, that could be Barney.
That could be Prince.
Well, that's true, but we ain't talking about Barney.
It could be Barney or Prince.
The rainy dude, you know, with the guitar.
I understand. And you, sir, do you embrace change or do you reject it?
You already asked me that.
Oh, this is the same guy?
Yep.
You're the same guy.
You called back. I didn't know it was you, Austin.
All right. The old hag.
Old hag. Hello, you are in the air.
Put that down as a song. That would be good.
What?
What you just said before, you know, she read the article. Get all those what you said, and put it all down and make a song out of it. That sounds good.
You're with it. You're with it, Tom.
Yeah, and with like debt is dumb and cash is king. Put that in there too.
All right, debt is dumb and cash is king. Did you get that, Mr. Guest?
I did.
She got that. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, okay.
And you tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. We're in the middle of Chrono Chaos here. The shift workers here on Night Shift, taking our genes. What are we putting out of sync? What genes?
Our rhythmic genes. And we're plunging ourselves into Chrono Chaos.
We're plunging ourselves into Chrono Chaos here on Night Shift. Hello, you're on the air. Who's here with us?
Tyrone again. Chrono Chaos.
All right, Chrono Chaos. Yeah, that's a good like rapper name. yeah, it's Chrono Chaos here with the
yeah,
time band.
Chrono Chaos.
Chrono Chaos. All right. So.
You know, I'm working a night shift now.
Oh, shoot. Your rhythmic genes, you put them in danger.
I actually got off at 12 today, but the other 4 days, I'm working 12 to 8.
You're killing yourself.
And my body is so timed to get up at 5 in the morning that when I get off at 8 and I need to sleep, I can't. It's been terrible.
You need to call them and let them know that their findings are inconclusive. No, I know, but listen, you're talking to a night owl here. I mean, you know, I come alive at 11 and let's, like, all right, now.
Yeah, I mean, I used to come alive when I was in my 20s and I was clubbing, like, every, 4 days out of a week. You know, I could hang out and dance all night and go to craft and have, like...
Well, the reason you can't do it is not because you got older. It's because you were destroying yourself.
Chrono Chaos caught up to you.
Threw your body into Chrono Chaos and it eventually caught up to you, yes. So, there it is. Who else is here besides Tyrone? Hello?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Oh, it's a mystery caller again.
A mystery again?
Mystery callers.
We only have four guests. Four
maybe it
listening.
Should become a rule that everybody who calls is a mystery caller.
I'm with that. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a copy of Time by the Chambers Brothers. You can run.
Say that one more time.
Have you got a copy of Time by the Chambers Brothers? You can play?
No, I didn't think of bringing that, but that's a good idea. I should have brought that. That would have been good. Either that or... you know, there are a number of great songs about time. So, guest who cannot be named, you have a story about a new president, change in Central Africa. Let's hear the story.
It says here that Central African Republic MPs elect Catherine Samba Panza, who is the interim president, and it makes her the first woman to hold the post. She beat her rival, Desiree,
depends. I'd say Desiree. Go ahead.
Golimba in the second round of voting by the interim parliament. Meanwhile, European Union foreign ministers agreed at a meeting on Monday to send troops to CAR. Diplomatic sources said, violence has confirmed, with two Muslim men killed and burnt in the capital, Bangui, on Sunday. Nearly a million people have been forced from their homes, 20% of the population, by the conflict between Muslims and Christians. In a victory speech, Ms. Samba Panza urged Christian militias, known as anti-Balaka, and Muslim fighters in the ex-Salika rebel movement to end the bloodshed. I call on my children, especially the anti-Balaka, to put down their arms and stop all the fighting. The same goes for ex-Salika. They should not have fear. I don't want to hear any more talk of murders and killings, she said. The Associated Press News Agency reports. Cheers broke out in the National Transitional Council, which serves as an interim parliament, when Ms. Samba Panza's victory was announced. Starting today, I am the president of Central Africans, without exclusion. She is quoted by AFP News Agency as saying, Ms. Samba Panza succeeds CAR's first Muslim leader, Michelle Jotodia, who resigned on January 10th under pressure from regional leaders and the former colonial power France over his failure to curb the conflict. She is a Christian, but the successful businesswoman is seen as politically neutral. She was accepted by both sides when she was proposed as Bangui's mayor under the interim administration. There are currently about 4,000 African troops and 1,600 French troops in the Central African Republic to help end the violence. They will be bolstered by about 500 troops that European Union foreign ministers have decided to deploy, AFP reports. Ms. Samba Panza won 75 votes in the runoff against 53 for Mr. Kolimba, the son of a former president. The election went to second round after Ms. Samaponza failed to secure an outright majority in the first round. Six other candidates were knocked out in the first round. About 129 members of the 135-seat council took part in the secret ballot, AFP reports. The Central African Republic has a Christian majority and a minority Muslim population.
Now, let me ask you both, and I'll ask you as a young woman, do you feel that this woman can bring peace, and do you feel that having female leaders will change this cycle of violence, or do you think that it'll be ineffectual? What's your take? And, you know, how do you see the future? Do you see women finally getting to power, things will change?
Honestly, I hope that things will change. And I feel like the fact that they elected a woman president shows that there is some progression. I mean, there's probably a point in time where they would never even allow a woman to run.
Well, clearly, they wouldn't have been allowed to even vote. But now she is taking the position, and even the words she's saying, you know, my children, and almost a maternal instinct to, and trying to unite them because she's not partisan. What's your take on that?
It's better that she's neutral, because if she had a side, then people wouldn't really...
She wouldn't be in power.
Yeah. Why would you want to support somebody who's, you know...
Well, the other person got in.
Yeah, but it's more convenient. It's actually better that you are neutral, because you'll have both people on your side, both people supporting you.
And do you see that as the future of politics? I mean, right now we have alternate parties to Republican and Democrat. Do you see one day there being some third party that is neither Republican nor Democrat eventually coming to power in this country?
Green Party. No, I'm kidding. I hope, idealistically.
Do you see it happening, or you just hope it does?
I hope it does, honestly. I really, truly hope that it does. Because, I mean, of course there's a conspiracy theory that Republicans and Democrats are really the same, and they're splitting people up on purpose, just, you know, so we as the people are distracted. But that's my friends who felt that way were socialists. That's another story. But yeah, hopefully there are representatives that can find some type of common ground, even if they think differently. But the thing is, a lot of people don't like neutral in this country. You know, if one majority is Republican, another majority is going to be Democrat. Our country is honestly too big to really have, you know, somebody that neutral.
And are you, as a young person, knowing history and learning history as you have and being interested in it, are you optimistic about the future, or do you think that too much damage has been done?
I feel like a lot of damage has been done, but it's fixable. I feel like as long as enough people want to fix it, it'll get fixed. Maybe not now, maybe not in 10 years, maybe not in 100 years, but...
Maybe not in 100 years? You think we'll be here in 100 years?
Yeah,
but... We don't fix things, you think we'll be here?
But we can fix it for our greater generation, for our the generations after us.
I'd call you an optimist then.
That's the hope. You know, if it doesn't get better for the rest of us, at least let our grandkids or great-grandkids reap the benefits.
You're very optimistic. And
that's the hope. I never said it really happened.
Mr. Guest, what's your take? Do you see a change like this in a country that has been, you know, in a country that part of the country has just passed a law that homosexuality is illegal and punishable by death? Do you see a woman coming to power? Do you see that as a good thing? Do you see it being an end to some of the conflict in Central America, of Central Africa? Or do you feel it's too far gone, or more the same?
I like to see women getting an opportunity to automatically assume that it'll be better simply because of the estrogen is a bit optimistic and idealistic. I'd like to think that perhaps women are more reasonable and less warlike, but those are stereotypical images of women. You know,
women are really warlike.
There are women that can be ruthless. You know, it does take a certain personality type, regardless of gender, to be involved at that level of politics to get things done. You can't be a wallflower. You're getting your hands dirty in some way or knowing people who will.
That's all right, true. But of course, but my question is the conflict, the death, the killing, the Muslim against Christian, the million people displaced. Do you think having that type of energy, just it's a change? It is a change.
It is a change. Whether that's a lot to put on her shoulders.
Clearly, but what's your take? Are you optimistic?
Step in the right direction.
Do you think it's a step in the right direction? Why?
Depending. I don't know enough about her to say if she is that right direction. But the idea of her is the right direction. The fact that this is putting a woman, having a woman run to reach that level of power, I believe is a step in the right direction.
In a country such as that.
In a country such as that. Whether she is the right person, I don't have enough information to say yes to that.
But in general, you feel it's a step in the right direction.
Yes. Anything that opens up the arena for us, for women to be considered the human beings and the adults that we are, is a good thing.
And what about the notion of partisan politics, the notion of not Christian or Muslim, not Democrat or Republican, but quote-unquote for the people? Do you see that as something as the future of politics?
I would like to think that it is. But human beings...
It's science fiction right now.
Human beings, we have this amazing ability to, you know, go one step forward, two steps back, you know, and I'd like to think that we can rise above, you know, our petty partisan politics and, you know, mine's bigger than yours, you know, sort of thing. You know, if we can reach the point of understanding the commonality of our humanity, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes, it's always a better step in the right direction for everybody. We're not really wired that way. And unless we make it a conscious effort...
What way are we wired, in your opinion?
We tribalize. You know, we are quick to say, this is my group, you're on the outside, you're a stranger, you're the other, and to demonize and fight with. That's what we do.
I agree. Human beings are very tribal.
You know, and, you know, that's our nature, and it evolved for a reason, you know, to keep us safe. But when that's not necessary, you know, when you are fed and clothed and housed and you've got the basics taken care of, we then have a responsibility to rise and be better and to be the best species we can be and get out of that mode of thinking, you know, and we don't do that enough.
You think that might change with the reverse in the sun's polarity?
It'd be nice.
Well, there it is. 212-209-2900. The name of the show.
Night Shift.
Right, you are, my friend.
All right, who is this? Who's here?
It's Tom again.
Tom.
Right, you are. We need someone who's neither Republican nor Democrat. We need somebody who can eat like an elephant and think like a jackass.
Well, that's well put there, Tom. I think that you could campaign on that platform. Do you know the phone number here, Mr. Guest?
I do. It's 212-209-2900. I think you should call.
You have another story?
I have lots of stories.
Yes, talk to me.
Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
From the UPI about the British Zoo. You want that one?
Yeah, let's hear about the British Zoo.
I thought this was interesting. Okay. Well, I think all our stories that we do are interesting. But the British Zoo cuts bananas out of monkeys' diet.
Explain that concept to me.
No bananas for you, monkey.
No.
How do you
Can
cut
you imagine?
How do you cut bananas out of a monkey's diet?
Very carefully.
Okay, talk to me. How do you, like, okay.
All right.
Who are we to outthink nature?
Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Is that not the premise for almost every science fiction movie ever? Who are we to outthink nature? We do it on a daily basis. We have industries and agencies set up to do just that.
True.
Or were you being...
I was, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Facetious.
All right, this is in England. Goals. A British zoo said its monkeys have been put on a banana-free diet because the fruits are too sweet and sugary.
What?
Yep.
That's ludicrous.
And I don't mean
the singer.
The rapper.
Rapper, whatever.
Whatever. Now, actor, producer, whatever. Officials at the, is that Paddington? Paddington? P-A-I-G-N-T-O-N?
That's Paddington beer.
I'm not amused by you, sir. Now, anyway, at their environmental park in Devon, England, said that the facility weaned its monkeys off of fruit and onto a more vegetable-focused diet because it is a health, it's healthier for the primates. Shall I continue?
Yeah, please.
People usually try to improve their diet by eating more fruit, but fruit cultivated for humans is much higher in sugar and much lower in protein and fiber than most wild fruit because we like our fruit to be so sweet and juicy. Giving this fruit to animals is the equivalent of giving them cake and chocolate.
So because we've genetically modified the fruit to adjust to our tastes, which have nothing to do with nutrition, we're actually feeding monkeys their natural food, but it's been altered and now it's no longer good for them.
Yep. Mm. Exactly. So it's the equivalent of giving them cake and chocolate, said Amy Plowman, the zoo's head of conservation and advocacy, and an expert in animal nutrition. Compared to the food they would eat in the wild, bananas are much more energy dense. They have a lot of calories and contain much more sugar that's bad for their teeth and can lead to diabetes and similar conditions. It can also cause gastrointestinal problems as their stomachs are mostly adapted to eating fibrous foods with very low digestibility, she said. Now, she also said that the monkeys are adjusting well to the vegetable diet. Like they have a choice. What, are they going to nominate a spokesman to go, hey, exactly, listen, not digging the veggies, can we get some more bananas up in this piece?
Exactly. How are they going to adjust like they don't adjust? Like,
what, they start flinging the vegetables at the... Exactly. We're not eating this! See, this is what leads to Planet of the Apes.
Clearly. This is clearly.
We want bananas.
Right, exactly. The ape that said no. No veggies.
We reduced the amounts slowly so they had a long period to get accustomed to their new diet. They didn't get a choice, but unlike children, they couldn't complain. Well, nice of you exactly. to acknowledge.
Exactly.
Wow.
They couldn't tell us no, so we don't know that they don't like it.
Well, you know, animals do have a way of making their feelings known.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have something furry in your life, then
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Matthew Webb, head keeper of mammals at
head,
this...
Now, that is something I want on my business card.
Head keeper of mammals?
Head keeper of mammals.
Although it does, out of context, sound like he just has a wall of trophies with animal heads.
It, you know, it's an interpretation.
It
yes,
is.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. Legitimate.
He must be real fun at parties. But he said the new diet has improved.
Head keeper of mammals.
Has, you know, he said the new diet has improved the condition of monkeys' coats, and the reduced amount of sugar in their food has helped decrease aggressive behavior. Is that what my problem is?
Yes.
All this sugar makes me violent at DSW?
Stop eating bananas.
Wow, stop eating bananas and punching chicks in the head for shoes.
And sleep at night.
And sleep at night so I can get my chronal chaos to a manageable
right,
level.
To a minimum.
Restore my rhythm. Let's see. That's all there is on that story. There ain't
well,
no more.
There it is. Guest who cannot be named? You have a story for us.
Yes.
Which is the story you want to go next?
Dirtiest man in the world smokes animal feces and hasn't bathed in 60 days.
Dirtiest man in the world. All right. Now, does he have a Facebook page? All right. Go ahead.
Must have a Twitter account.
Well, he's an Iranian man named Amoh Haji who lives in a village.
Man. Yeah.
And he hasn't washed in 60 years because he thinks cleanliness will bring him sickness.
Ah. Huh. He obviously grew up reading Peanuts and was a fan of Pigpen.
Clearly. Never heard of the Black Death, did we?
All right, go ahead. Please, finish this story.
He may have the title of Dirtiest Man in the World because it has been reported that the previous record holder for not bathing was 66-year-old Indian man Kailash Singh, who went over 38 years without washing.
What?! Over 38 years without washing.
Oh.
How do you do that?
That just hurt me.
After a day, I feel upset.
I would think after about a year, you couldn't move because of the crust. I'm
like, so, you crack when you walk.
Exactly. Damn, like maybe they beat him like a rug. All right, go ahead.
I would not put that on my Match.com profile.
Damn. Dirtiest
hey,
man
baby,
in the world.
I haven't bathed in 38 years. Holla at your boy. What? No.
Unless
the holla is
unless he marries somebody who doesn't like bathing either.
Yeah, somebody who's lost the sense of smell.
Or yeah, somebody who can't smell or see.
Yeah. Go ahead.
In addition to the issue with bathing, Haji also enjoys dining on the rotten meat of dead porcupines. And when next
the rotten meat of dead porcupines.
I'm done.
I enjoy dining on the dead meat of rotting porcupines.
And you know why they died? Because they smelled him.
Stop. Now, just that statement alone. How many people on the planet, only one person on the planet, can ever say that?
Oh, my God.
I enjoyed
Was he in the cast of Lost? Because
Wait. It gets better.
How could it?
And when asked to eat clean food and drink clean water, he gets mad.
Of course he does.
Besides eating animals.
I'll flake on you.
Heiji also enjoys stuffing his pipe with animal feces. And will only ingest tobacco by smoking multiple cigarettes at once.
I will only ingest tobacco by smoking multiple cigarettes at once. But I bet he sleeps at night. Go ahead.
Haji alternates between living in a grave-like hole in the ground to keep him grounded and in touch with the reality of life.
Keep
and
him
a brick
grounded.
Deck.
Well, living in a hole in the ground is definitely, that's a new, you know, go ahead.
He's apparently had some emotional setbacks in his youth that led him to lead his current lifestyle. On the healthy side, he does keep his hair neat and trimmed by burning it over a fire.
Oh, well, that's...
And drinks 5 liters...
That's a new series on Discovery Channel. Fire Barber.
At your peril.
He'll put a bowl on your head.
Whatever's hanging out, light him up.
That's it. Fire Barber.
And drinks 5 liters of water every day out of a rusty oil tin.
Damn. All right, we lost some people there. They were calling. But damn, Fire Barber. Okay, go ahead. He drinks out of a Rust-Oleum can, would you say? What does he drink out of?
He eat water. 5 liters of water every day out of a rusty oil tin.
Is that the whole story? Is there anything
in
the back?
Yes, it's
look
short.
At the back?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
It says Tehran Times at the end.
Wow.
Wow.
Mental illness
is something else, isn't
it? Yeah, you know.
When the wires go wrong, they go wrong.
Damn. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tony.
Tony. Yeah. What do you think there, Tony?
In the toll booth, I'm just wondering. I just came in. I missed the very beginning of that story. Mm-hmm. But I was just wondering, how is he not dead? He's just honestly been a grave because he's going to be there shortly.
Hey, you know, they have said that people who don't bathe in some ways are actually healthier and more resilient to germs because they have so many and the body builds up a resistance because they have so much germ and filth on them.
So soap could actually kill this man.
So that's how he eats dead porcupine meat?
He eats rotting pork. He dies. Yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's disgusting.
Damn. Yeah, but he's nothing because the other guy didn't bathe for 38 years.
Now, what country was this in?
What country is this?
The man who didn't wash in 60 years is from Iran. The one who didn't bathe for 38 years was from India.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
Well, 60 days and 30 years. 38
60
years,
days
right?
and 30 okay. years. There it is.
He's, no, it's 60 years and 38 years.
Wow.
I can't see anybody wanting them.
Well, I don't think he wants to be wanted. You know what I'm saying?
I can't see any woman wanting him.
Yeah, the world's dirtiest woman might want him.
Mm-mm. I can't see a hooker wanting him.
Stop. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would have to be cash.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the whipping from the pimp before I would get with them.
Yeah, yeah. Daddy, you're going to have to beat me.
I take the whooping from the pimp before I get with you. That's a good line.
Yeah, because, you know, they kick your butt, get that money.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, I'm sorry, Daddy. Go ahead, just beat me.
Yep. Matter of fact, I'll help you.
I'll flog my damn self. All right, now I got to ask you, do you, and this is the theme of the show, so we're asking you the theme question, is do you embrace change or do you fight it in general?
It depends upon what the change is. Is it, I think about change as surprise, and I look in my past history, I don't do well with surprises because the things my mother did to me as a child, like she secretly married someone who was no good for her, and he was violent, so, you know, I had to live with that. That was a surprise. And I can remember my great-grandmother telling me that my mother was in the hospital and she had had a baby. And I said, is it a girl? She didn't know. It's a boy. I was like, oh, send it back. You know, that was another surprise. I wasn't. So that's why
send
I say.
Send it back.
Yeah, I sure said it. I was about 4 years old. I didn't know. But I look at change. It depends on what it is. You know, sometimes it's like, okay, it's cool. I can live with it. And then other times, like, I'm not liking this at all.
And how does that work for you? When you give in or to change, like, is fighting change better? Is it good for you? Or do you always find that the change, you should have just gone with it?
No. Sometimes it's just better if I fight it.
All right. That's been your life experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Who else is here?
Play the song The Natural Man.
What do you think? I just have a library of songs and just whip it out? Don't have that, sir. But go ahead. All right, and ma'am, now how long have you been listening to this show?
This is Tony from the Toll Booth.
I know, Tony.
I've been listening for, it's only been a matter, it's less than 6 months. I know that much. I'll say about 4 months.
4 months. And what got you into the show? Why do you listen?
Well, because I'm on working the night shift.
All right. Well, you missed our whole story about the night shift, you know.
No. What happened was I was working, and I'm on a break right now. I ran to the restroom, but I did hear what they were saying about the damage to the body. And if it wasn't for nutrients, I think I really would be falling apart. You know, like I told you, I'm taking the Moringa now, and I do a few other things.
Ah, you listen to every James Olmos. That's right. Captain Adama told you.
Yes.
Adama told us about Moringa. I had Edward James Olmos on the show here.
My gray hair is turning back. I'm getting color.
What does that mean?
Moringa's no joke.
I know. I take it every day.
So
things are happening.
Well, how do you take it? Do you do the tea? Do you do it as a tincture? Do you do it as a pill?
I have the bottle with the dropper in it. And
I got that.
I
got that. I'm with that.
Yep, right into the bloodstream quickly. And I'm saying, but jet lag, a lot of days I feel jet lagged, and depending on what day it is and events that I have to do during the day, some days I come in and I'll sleep all day long, and then some days I only get a few hours sleep towards the end of the day before I have to get up. Because my body is, I at least understand my body is such that if I come in and go to sleep right away, by the time I get up in the middle of the day and then do things, when it's time to go to work, my body has said, okay, time to go to bed.
I understand. That's because.
So I have to trick myself into staying up and keep moving and doing things. I mean, I can catch little, you know, cat naps here and there, but you know, I have to keep moving and then sleep for about 4 hours.
Well, you're in chrono crisis, ma'am.
Yes.
You realize that?
Yes.
Okay, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who else is here? Hello, you're in the air.
Talking to Tony in the toll booth. Don't we love the alliteration of that?
Yes.
We need to run an ISDN line from her toll booth.
She
needs a show on BAI. There is a Tony gap, as it happens.
There is a Tony gap.
And also, Mike, why are you pretending your daughter isn't in the studio?
What daughter? I have no daughter.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes. And you, do you embrace change or do you reject it?
I embrace it.
I don't know if I buy that.
I don't know if I buy that your daughter's not in the studio.
Well, that's, you know.
How about that?
Well, you know, who are you? Who are you?
I am Grand Canyon Girl.
I know you're Grand Canyon Girl. And
Oh, hi, Grand Canyon Girl.
See?
He's my man.
Okay. Tony in the toll booth. So Grand Canyon Girl, why do you listen to the show? And how long have you been listening? You've been listening since we played Grand Canyon. That's like...
Oh, 20 years.
20 years. What's up with you? What's wrong with you?
Since I was 16, I told you.
Holy smoke. You've been listening since you were a teenager?
So yeah.
We helped form your mind?
You pretty much raised me.
Wow. So you're a child of Night Shift. And did you know that you were
wow,
in Chrono Crisis?
Wow, that's a great t-shirt.
Child of Night Shift. And did you know that you were in Chrono Crisis listening to the show?
Too.
Did you realize that?
I had no idea the sun was in reverse polarity. I had no idea what that portends or bodes or anything else. But you know what? You got to just roll with the punches.
Mm. Whatever the sun's going to dish out, you're ready to take it.
Exactly.
Like photon torpedoes.
It's cool that... that your daughter is optimistic enough to think that there will actually be a planet in 100 years.
Well, she is optimistic. Not that she's my
you
daughter.
Admitted it.
No, I said not that she's my daughter. You you think she's my daughter.
Yeah.
How do you know it's not that it's a mystery guest daughter?
I broke
nothing. You interrupt me before I finish my sentence. So there it is. Ah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Now Hoff, back to you.
Yes. Well, this is a song for the Rhythmic Genes.
to the rhythm, to the rhythm, to the rhythm.
The flow. Build on up, don't break a chain. Thoughts will fly when the whistle blows. You never stop the action.
Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up.
Never stop the action.
Keep it up.
Work to the rhythm.
I think she was singing about rhythmic genes.
I do.
I do, too. You have a story for us, Mr. Guest?
I do. But just for my own edification, yes. That was Grace Jones,
yes,
was it not?
Yes, of course it was.
Her voice just sounds younger than I remember.
Well, that's because we're older than when you last heard it.
The next story is from UPI, and it's about a man fined after Bears-Packers bet leads to stunning wife. Now, the headline
Wait,
might be a little misleading.
He has a stunning wife, you said?
It does sound that way, doesn't
okay,
it?
Okay, it does. Yeah, don't.
But headline writing is not easy. This is in Mayville, Wisconsin.
What do you know about headline writing? Anything?
Headline writing? Yeah, isn't that
weird? Why are you not talking to the mic? You know why? Okay.
Isn't headline writing... It's all news, right? They call them lower thirds, right?
On TV, they do. So go ahead, yeah. Mr. Gibbs.
This is in Mayville, Wisconsin, and I'm going to point this out slightly ahead of time. The first two stories that I read were of some sort of scholarly interest and were from Britain. This is the United States contribution to the lineup this evening. The Wisconsin man who used a stun gun on his wife out... Yes, that's the opening sentence. The Wisconsin man who used a stun gun on his wife outside a bar as the culmination of a bet on a Bears-Packers game has been fined $250.
Wait. You could stun your wife and only get fined $250?
How about that?
This could be sport.
It's open season.
Go ahead.
John Grant, who was arrested November 4th after using a taser on his wife, Nicole, outside a Mayville bar, accepted a plea deal on January 9th that was fined $250 for disorderly conduct.
Used a taser on his wife.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
John Grant, a Chicago Bears fan, and Nicole Grant, a Green Bay Packers fan, said they always have a bet when their preferred teams play one another, and the November 4 bet involved the loser agreeing to be shot with a stun gun after the game. And that's how you keep love fresh and alive, everybody.
Maybe this is that passive-aggressive thing.
That's not very passive.
The underage guest was talking about.
That's aggressive-aggressive.
Where you kind of, you know, you stun so that they will divorce you.
Right.
So nobody
wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to wear the big boy pants.
I don't even want to... Go ahead, please.
We made the bet, but I was fully expecting to get tased that night. I did not believe Chicago would come into Lambeau and win, John Grant said. What a gentleman.
I didn't think I'd have to stun her.
This is modern day chivalry.
Wow, but he went ahead. He won. You know, it's a bet's a bet, honey. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is why we're losing. This is why we're losing. Anyway. We made the bet, but I was fully expecting to get tased that night. I did not believe... Oh, I read that already. However, the Bears came out victorious, and Nicole Grant was the one who faced the stun gun that night. Are we serious? Really, America?
That's a bet.
I'm not trying
to
hear
that. It's a sports bet.
We went outside and proceeded to pay off the bet. I tased her in the behind, and the bet was for 3 seconds. Well, thank goodness there are standards.
I tased her in the behind. Wow.
The first tasing, she jumped. I mean, right immediately, John Grant said.
The first, as in he kept tasing? It got good to him.
I guess, you know. The couple said... It was an unrelated argument about 2 hours after the stun gun incident. No. First of all, for women, it's never an unrelated argument. Every argument is related going back decades. It's all connected.
Sounds about right.
Yes. You think we're arguing about the cell phone? No, we're arguing about some stuff you did 15 years ago.
That you obviously forgot and don't remember.
Right. And how could you not know how important that was? It was my birthday! Anyway.
It was our anniversary!
Right, there we go. All right. So, let me get back to where was I? I got so flustered I lost my voice. The couple said it was an unrelated argument about 2 hours after the stun gun incident that led to police being called. Nicole Grant said she called police because John wouldn't let her into their truck.
I'd say they have issues.
I told them, you know, my husband's not letting me in the trunk. The truck. I'm just trying to get in. That's all I'm asking. She called the cops for this? I'd have called a cab.
Like, he stunned her on the ass.
And that's not what the argument was about.
But he wouldn't let her in the truck. Then she called the cops.
Yeah. I'd have called the ambulance. Anyway.
For him.
Oh, yes. You can stay in that truck while it's on fire. Anyway. Nicole Grant said that she told officers about stun gun bet, and that led to John being arrested for possession of an electronic weapon, a felony in Wisconsin for someone without a conceal and carry permit. Say what?
You can get a conceal and carry permit for a stun gun?
Wow. The couple said their bet on December 29th, Bears-Packers game, which Green Bay won, was much tamer. Oh, well, thank goodness. Because, you know, how high do the stakes need to get? The last Bears-Packers game, December 29th, he lost. So next year, the two Bears-Packers games, he has to wear a Packers jersey. Wow, so he doesn't get stunned. He just has to wear a shirt.
Wow. Well, I have a song I'd like to dedicate to that couple.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Which is?
I could see, like, him stunning her in the butt in slow motion.
To this, can you?
To, well, like, you know, there it is. So, wow. That's, wow. When you say this is why we're losing, what are we losing? Our minds?
The intelligence battle?
I understand.
We're lowering the curve.
Is that because of Duck Dynasty?
I think to blame Duck Dynasty would be unfair.
Ah.
This downward spiral began way before them.
I understand.
They might just happen to be in the
tide. They're just a byproduct.
Yeah, I would more so blame Honey Boo Boo than I would Duck Dynasty. At least they strive for some kind of message.
What's their message?
Well, it depends.
Leave the country.
Do you want the pre-homophobic statement or the post-homophobic statement?
Well, you know, there it is.
You know, Duck Dynasty Nigeria.
You know, I don't think there is a Duck Dynasty in Nigeria. But there is a law that says homosexuality is illegal. And that is Life is Like Science Fiction in itself. It's scary. It's horrifying.
Indeed.
Were you aware of this, Mr.? No, she who is not paying attention. See, you're not even on the microphone, so we can leave her out of the conversation. Miss. All right, so can you read your next story?
Oh, my goodness. This one is really sad. Well, it's uplifting in a sad way. It's about a man going barefoot for a year to buy shoes for children. It's in Kentucky. Richard Hudgens from Louisville, Kentucky, began his project December 4th, the day before the snow fell, and he almost gave up. But he was inspired to carry on when the first anonymous $5 donation came at his website, noshoesforayear.com. And although it hasn't gotten any easier, and he's having trouble building up the tolerance to walk everywhere barefoot, he knows that the funds and the money that he's raising by walking barefoot will go to children who need the shoes. And fortunately, the hair salons and whatever business, his employers at the Wild Hair Salon and other business owners are very understanding of the situation, and they're not restricting, they're not making them wear shoes because they know it's for a good cause. So it's uplifting. It's kind of sad that he's walking barefoot on the pavements and all of that, but it's for a good cause, so it's more good than bad.
Mr. Guest, do you want to weigh in on this one? Oh, she of the furrowed brow.
I guess I'd like a little bit more to the story. Like, what inspired him?
Children who have no shoes.
To do this. Okay, but children have been lacking lots of things for a very long time. Why this? Why now? What brought it to his attention?
You want to interview
him? I'd like the journalist to do their job.
Well, you know, he's doing it to raise money for children with no shoes. Isn't that enough?
I know what he's doing. I got that part of the story. I'd like the why part
because they have
of
no
the
shoes.
Story. Okay, thank you. You must be the editor. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm so intrigued by the story that I'd like to know
you
more.
You want to know more.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should have him on the show. And underage guest, you found this story inspiring?
I did. I mean, it takes a lot of strength to walk barefoot. A lot of us like to help people in our own way, whether it's giving a dollar to the homeless man, but it's not really doing any labor.
Well, I'd say that's some labor. But, like, if he can't have shoes, can he, like, tie cardboard to his feet?
Mm-mm.
No flip-flops?
Well, that's shoes.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not really.
There's no support.
He's going Flintstone style.
Oh, he's going to need a hell of a pedicure when he's done.
This is true.
He might as well hang out with the man that's not bathing. Ain't nobody going to want
Stop.
That.
Stop. Stop.
Seriously.
Well, just his feet are jacked up.
Right, and 10 years from now, that story's, yeah, honey, I've heard it all. Put your socks on.
Stop.
Nobody wants to see that.
Stop. Be nice.
I'm being as nice as I can be.
Underage guest, do you know the phone number here?
I do not know the phone number.
That's because you haven't been paying attention.
No,
What's
I...
What's the phone number here?
The phone number here is 212-209-2900.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. The name of the show.
That would be nice, Chef.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, it all happened before in a movie called Idiocracy.
Yes.
I listen irregularly. I don't know if you've ever talked about it or interviewed.
Yes, we have talked about it.
Makers. Yeah, yes, you know. And my experience was halfway through, I realized, oh my God, this is not about the future. It's about the present.
Yes, it is.
It's happening right now.
Yes, we are in an idiocracy.
And I must say that the anagraphically mature guest's writing is getting a lot better.
Ah.
Yes.
You're digging the old hack now.
I am.
She grows on you.
I live to please.
She grows on you.
Like a fungus. And I'm about to side with Grand Canyon Girl.
Ah, in what
not
way?
Not only is the underage girl the daughter, but she's the mother. In other words, it's family outing.
Yes, it is a family outing. This is it. Mother, daughter, and I'm the son.
Wow. I think I owe child support.
Thank you.
Another subplot.
All right. Well, I'm glad you listened to the show. You're tuned to Night Shift.
Yes, you are. Night Shift.
say there are some stories I wanted to cover that that I can't cover. They're bizarre and they're strangely adult. They're bizarre. So and even though you're not completely underage, I just they're just too bizarre. But let me ask you a question, Mr. Guest.
Yes.
You're the guest who cannot be named. You're the underage guest. Mr. Guest is here. Mr. Guest, are you there?
I'm here.
So I want to ask you a question, and I'll ask you after underage guest. Do you feel that... does the world seem more or less surreal to you as you get older? Did it seem more surreal when you were young, or is it more surreal now?
I'm going to need a little bit more...
Okay.
Context for the question. Okay. I mean, what do you...
Context for the question. Theme of the show is that life is like science fiction. And to me, the world just gets more and more bizarre to me.
Yes.
The more I know, the more bizarre.
The less I understand.
Yeah, the less I understand, yeah, definitely. And there's not even an attempt of understanding, just grasping. It's just, what?
You know, there was a very brief moment. I'd like to say I was probably about maybe 17.
Close to the age of the underage guest.
Right, where I understood everything. Everything made sense. My parents were complete idiots. Why aren't you getting this? And I lost it. It's gone. That certainty is completely gone. And in that sense, yes, the older I get, the less I know. It is more bizarre, surreal. Like, hey, is this all really happening? Are we getting a timeout here at all? Is anybody going to throw a flag on the play? Anybody at all? Like, we just need a global timeout. Everybody go sit down and think about what you've done. If that's 5 minutes or 5 years, we need to chill. But we're not. We don't get that time. You know, it's that, is it Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire? That song, do you recall?
No, but...
We Didn't Start the Fire? You don't know that song? You have to know that song.
No, I...
That is an iconic... song.
Maybe I know it, I just don't know the title of it.
Okay.
I probably heard it.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess to answer your question, yeah, more surreal.
Seems more surreal. And what about you, underage guest? You know, I have to assume, because you're closer to what it is to not be, you know, an adult and be a child and just be learning about the world. Now that you have a sense of the world and you're still learning, does it seem more surreal to you, or are you beginning to get it?
Listen to me.
Get near the mic. You have to talk on the mic. Yes, there you go.
It's like, as I age, this world seems to shrink. I don't know if that's real or not.
Well, that's normal. You're beginning to understand it. You think you have better perspective.
It feels like, you know, you don't... It's like this world, as you go to high school, you go to college, you start traveling, you start meeting new people, and those worlds seem to intertwine. And it also feels like, I don't know, it's surreal to me that, you know, that this world can be so small, and that people are so alike in a way. I don't know, people fascinate me. And it's, I feel like people make the world surreal.
I'd go with that.
Yes. People horrify me, actually.
People do make the world. But I do want to mention, and I just had to look up the author because I remember reading it when I was in college. There is a book called The Ignorance of Certainty.
Mm.
It's by Ashley Montague. And it struck me. I read it because of the title.
Sometimes.
The Ignorance of Certainty.
Miss it. You can't get it back. You can't unring the bell.
No, that's right.
You know, well, there's always brain damage.
It's like Santa Claus. Okay. Brain damage?
Yeah, not trying to be funny, but no. I mean, there's an article a few years ago, and somebody might have even read a book. Who are we really? You know, what defines who we are? If you have an accident or some sort of illness that changes your brain chemistry or how your brain functions and you cease to be the person you were, then who are you now? Do you understand what I mean? So a brain injury can change you. Can
regarding Henry.
There you go. It takes away the knowledge that you had, perhaps, or what you used to know, or how you used to do things.
Well,
so it is a frightening prospect, because we are gentler creatures sometimes than we like to think we are.
Well, when you say gentler creatures, and you're saying, you know, we are
more breakable.
More breakable. Well, you know, we are the sum product of our experiences. So, you know, without them, there may be certain characteristics. But
right. I mean, what I'm saying is, you're a car accident away from, yeah, you survived, but who you were is gone.
You're a car accident. Oh, that's a cheery outlook.
It's a head. It's a basic head injury.
It's just not something I think about.
No one does.
Well, you do.
Nor should you.
You do. Well,
only in the course of this conversation.
Oh, okay. Because you threw it out there like, you know.
I'm trying to tap dance as fast as I can to be relevant in this conversation.
No, it's very relevant.
We couldn't leave our house if we didn't have some willing suspension of disbelief that we, you know, that
we will make it through the
that
day.
That we were going to make it through the day.
I'm with you. This is true. Well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio. This is the mystery guest. Even though you have mystery guests, you have various identities. And can people follow you?
I am the jackal.
Can people follow you? Can people follow you on Twitter?
Of course they can.
What's your Twitter?
If I tell you my Twitter, then I'm
only to some.
What do you mean?
Is your Twitter is your real name?
My Twitter is my real name.
Really?
Oh, okay. I am my real name everywhere.
Or your real name everywhere.
I am me everywhere. People are like, how do I find you? Here. And are you that on LinkedIn? Are you that on Facebook? I'm that
underage,
everywhere.
Underage guest.
Yes.
Do you use your real name on any of your anything?
Just my first name.
Really?
I don't put my last name.
You never do.
No, people can search you up through there. And I'll use an email I never really checked as well, so I don't get these notifications.
I understand.
Well, I know you can't tell it me being here, but normally my job is to be found.
Your job is to be found.
Yeah, I
so
want to be
hiding
found.
Out. You're kind of hiding out right now.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of anonymity.
You're enjoying the anonymity. You were on the fence about it at first.
I still am. You know, I feel like I'm missing credit somehow.
You want credit?
Doesn't everybody?
I think so. Who is this? Hello?
Hello? How can you people expect people to donate when you're talking bullshit?
Well, you know, how long have you been listening? Well, he was compelled to call. 212-209-2900.
And very current and cogent.
All right, so you have a story for us, Mr. Guest?
I do.
Talk to me.
Let's see. I have... Yeah, let's do this one. I like this one better. Twitter users hail Seattle-Denver Stoner Bowl.
Stoner Bowl?
Stoner Bowl.
Okay, talk to me. Why?
In East Rutherford... This is coming out of East Rutherford, New Jersey. Twitter-based Super Bowl buzz for Denver and Seattle surrounds the fact that the teams come from the only two states to legalize recreational use of marijuana. The Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks scored victories during the weekend to move to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, leading the hashtag Stoner Bowl to trend on Twitter and spark discussion about both teams coming from states with legalized recreational marijuana use. Digital First Media reported on Monday. Quote, now this will be a Super Bowl, all caps, Colorado versus Washington. Is there a lesson here? Hashtag weed will rock you. Hashtag stoner bowl. Tweeted Star Trek star and activist George Takei. I'd love George Takei.
Yeah, do you know at Sundance there's a documentary about George Takei?
Is there really?
It's called Being Takei.
Really?
And it's a whole documentary about him and his whole career and his whole life and his activism and everything. And he, you know, his family was in an internment camp when he was young.
Really?
Yes, after World War II when they locked all Japanese people up and whatnot. Mystery, the underage guest is not listening, but...
Yes, the internment camps.
Yes.
Korematsu.
Yes. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so yes. Go ahead, George Takei.
Yes, the Drug Policy Alliance, which supports legalization, used the opportunity to list the benefits of legal pot. Marijuana legalization means increased tax revenue, fewer arrests, and apparently a trip to the Super Bowl. Seattle versus Denver, hashtag Super Bowl, the group tweeted on its at Drug Policy News account.
It's interesting. Now, I do want your opinion, Mr. Guest.
Yes.
Do you think that this, I mean, I can see a whole lot of new crimes, accidents, things happening as a result of, just like there are certain things that happen when alcohol is legal.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes something that people, you know, use or abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it will be, if... As this progresses, mm-hmm. as there's this slow rollout, which there has to be, do you think this is a go? Yeah, exactly. Pardon the pun. Do you feel that this is going to be a good thing for pot to be legalized in this country, or do you feel that there are ramifications we've yet to encounter?
Those are two different questions that are not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Yes, I think it's a good thing. Yes, there are going to be ramifications and unintended consequences and things we could not have foreseen.
And do you think that
should stop it? No.
Okay, so you think the good will outweigh the bad?
Let's hope so. I mean, it's interesting that, I don't know if you know this, but President Obama was quoted in an article, and this has already been known that he smoked marijuana. He claims that, he spoke to his daughter and said, you know what, I smoked it, I stopped. I don't think it's any worse than alcohol. I think it's a waste of time. I don't think you should do it. You know, so he was very, you know, clear and upfront, so he says, with his daughters. And, of course, it's caused a lot of, you know, blowback, forgive the pun, about the legalization of marijuana. But you can't honestly look at what we have legalized so far and still maintain an argument against pot.
All right, so but how does what Obama said affect your view?
Oh, I'm not looking for him to shape my opinion. I'm just saying that this... That is in light of this news. You know, it seems to be the topic du jour, and he actually spoke to it as a sitting president instead of denying that he's used it. He didn't inhale. Yeah, whatever, dude.
Gotcha.
We've come a long way.
Now, there's somebody in the background who keeps yelling. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, good evening. I just wanted to ask you, as a curiosity, did anybody of you believe in God?
Well, yes, but what made you want to ask that?
No, I wanted to ask if, do you think that, that is the one in charge, or are we the ones that decide, or is the one that directs us?
All right, sir, let me ask you, okay, because I'm the host here and you're calling up.
Right.
I feel I should ask the questions of you. So, okay. My question to you is, do you believe in God? And do you believe he or she is in charge?
Yes, I believe in God, definitely. But for him to guide us, I think he does. So.
I believe in God.
He does what?
Smoke pot.
He gave suggestion to us. I mean, the things that we think as a consciousness, I think it's God talking to us.
So you feel God is in charge?
I feel that not that he makes things happen.
I understand. And so what made you call in to ask about, the existence or belief in God? What made
Because I was listening to you, and when I was listening, I was drawing you know, because it sounded like you have a background of a Star Trek background.
I have a Star Trek background. Yes, I do.
You have a doctorate.
Yes, okay, and I started drawing what it looked like a transport. Where Mr. Sulu,
yes.
You were talking about yes. before.
Yes, it's all connected, yes.
It's all connected, right? So yes. That's why, you know, I just decided to give you the question.
I understand. It's sort of like Shatner in the fifth movie.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, and what's your name, sir?
My name is Peter Dosan.
Oh, wait, say that one more time?
Yeah, Peter Dosan, yes.
You got to say it again, because you got to say it slower for me.
Peter Dosan,
D-O-S-A-N, Dosan. Ah, Dosan, okay. Yes. And how long have you been listening to the show?
Well, this is the first time I'm listening.
First time? So what do you think? Like, why, do you think it's interesting?
Well, I
said, why are you listening to this show? Do you find
it interesting? Oh, because it's interesting.
Oh, it's interesting. Okay, all right. You know, just want to know. See if we're in the pocket. Are you going to stay with us, Dosan?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, we tried to bring somebody else. What's the phone number here, mystery guest?
It is 212-209-2900.
Oh, you don't look. She's trying to chime in like she knew. She's looking at the wall, looking for numbers on the wall. Yeah. You have a story then for us. Give us your story while we try and get another call here.
So this one is the British man's case of the hiccups, which surpasses over 2 months.
Oh, because I have my own hiccup story. Go ahead. British man's case of
the hiccups. In England, a 19-year-old British man came down with a case of the hiccups in November and has hiccuped more than 1 million times with no sign of stopping. His case of the hiccups started on November 20th, and he has since been hiccuping an average of 25 times per minute for a total of more than 1.4 million hiccups. Chris McKernan said folk cures such as breathing into a bag, sucking on a lemon, and standing on his head have failed to stop the hiccups, and doctors were left baffled when acid-relieving medications failed to stop the ailment. Everyone gets annoyed or laughs at me when I can't stop hiccuping, McKernan said. My girlfriend doesn't seem to mind, but it would be better for everyone if they went. The world record was set by Charles Osborne of the United States.
The world record. Go ahead.
Whose case of the hiccups lasted from 1922 until 1990. And totaled an estimated 430 million hiccups.
Oh,
that's a nightmare.
Put him with a guy who hasn't bathed in 38 years. Because they're a pair.
Stop. That is so cool.
Take a bath, dude. Take a bath. Take a bath. Take a bath. Stop hiccuping. You smell. You know, it's the odd couple. It's perfect.
Unbelievably cruel. All right, but I do have my own hiccup story. My own hiccup horror story. Okay, when I was young, with my Star Trek background, I used to work at the creation conventions, okay? And I work with these guys are all gone on to become big names. There's Bob Shrek, he's in DC Comics, and then Mike Ruggiero, he's like head of programming at anyway. So bottom line is, what we used to do is, when the conventions, we were like security at night, like we kind of guard the dealer's room, okay? So you have to kind of stay up all night, guard the dealer's room. That's your job, you know? Then you sleep the next day. But that, you know, you're working for the convention. That's one of the things. And about maybe after dinner, 7, 8 o'clock, I got the hiccups. And it just lasted for hours and hours. I tried everything. People told me, if you had said to me, get up on the stage and stark naked and flap your arms like a chicken, I'd have done it. Okay? Because after like 10 hours of hiccuping.
Please, after 10 minutes.
After 10 hours of hiccuping, you're in another world. It's just.
It's surreal.
It is surreal. And so finally, after like 12, 13 hours, somebody told me some ridiculousness. And I did it. and it worked.
Do you remember what the ridiculousness was?
I would never forget it. Of course. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Because again, I heard every theory there is. You know, eat sugar packets, this, that. I've heard all kinds of stuff. Okay, here's what it was. Okay, they said, take a glass of water. Okay, put a pencil in your mouth. You know
what?
Listen to me, like you would like a horse. You're like, ah, I got. Okay, put a pencil in your mouth. Drink the glass of water in one drink. Oh, just hold your breath, drink the water, and it'll get rid of your hiccups.
Did it work?
It worked. It has worked every time. If I've ever gotten good, because when I get the hiccups, it's like, you know, you can shift into panic mode because, you know.
10 hours is coming.
13 total. But, so, yeah.
So, pencil in the mouth.
Pencil in the mouth and drink a glass of water. Yep.
You're going to spill some that way, yes?
Let me tell you. After hours of hiccuping, you might spill water on yourself. It's like, ha, ha, ha. So what?
I'm just making sure that I'm getting the right image.
Well, I was careful enough. But again, at that point, you're like, you know, you'll just do anything just to get rid of it. I'm serious.
No, yes. It's like having a toothache in the middle of the night and you can't, no dentist is around. What are you going to do? You'll do anything.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It's like, okay, a Lipton tea bag stuck in the corner of my mouth and like my elbow behind my what? Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, exactly. What's the acupressure point? Okay, so there it is. Let's say my hiccup horror story. Do you have any hiccup horror stories?
No, I don't.
You've never gotten hiccups?
I didn't say that. These are two different questions.
Okay.
I've had the hiccups, not to horror story proportions.
Okay. What's the longest you ever had the hiccups?
It's not even nothing that was worth clocking.
Ah, okay. So you get rid of them pretty quick.
Yeah, like under 15 minutes.
Okay. What about you?
No.
You never had hiccups bad or anything?
Nope.
There it is.
The scare-em trick always worked.
Ah, the scare-em trick. What works for you?
Water.
With a pencil?
No, just what? And drinking water.
Drinking water.
Yeah, nonstop.
I have theories about what hiccups are and what makes you stop and all that now.
Why do you think this poor man keeps hiccuping?
I don't know about that man.
The overlord.
I don't know about that man. I think he's used to hiccuping at this point. Hello, you're on the air.
Lisa's girlfriend accepts
hello.
It.
Hello, you're on the air.
She can do better.
Feedback.
Looking for an upgrade.
Ringing in my ears.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that does it. And I couldn't pick up anybody else. And there were like four calls coming in. And I couldn't pick up anybody else except the feedback. What is up with the system? Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I had hiccups 24 hours.
Oh, I feel your pain.
Mm-mm.
Ouch.
24 hours. How'd you finally get rid of them?
Well, someone told me to light a match and drop the lit match into some water and drink it down, and that really worked.
You know, that proves my theory. My theory is about getting rid of hiccups. Hello, you're in the air.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi.
I just had a question. Do you have any cold remedies?
Well, Dr. Mike, yeah. Do I have any cold remedies? I mean, you know.
Well, dry cough in particular.
Dry cough in particular. I think the mystery guest, do you have any cold remedies?
Oh, I'm okay.
Aside from going to the doctor?
Yes, besides going to the doctor. Well, all right, what are your symptoms, ma'am? I mean, I don't, you know.
I have a dry cough. Okay. I have chills, but that's about it.
That's not good. I probably would go with the mystery guest on that one because
a cup of tea, some soup, some lozenges. I mean, I think if the home remedies don't work over a couple of days, then it's doctor worthy. But, you know, what can, you know. I mean, my first line of defense is a cup of tea, you know, some throat lozenges, maybe some cough syrup. But even that says on the label, if it persists, you know, more than 48 hours, time to seek professional
help.
Yes,
definitely. If you get dry, me, I would probably take a really, really long hot shower and just stay and breathe in all that steam.
That steam?
Yeah. That would be me. That's what I do, and sweat it out and all that other stuff. But, you know,
I just don't want to even get out my car right now.
I understand. You could stay there, and we'll try and help you with your dry cough. All right. Yeah.
But get yourself a hot cup of tea, hon, and some lemon and honey.
Lemon and honey. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Hello, you're on the air. That was really weird. Have we lost you?
No.
All right, you have another story?
I do.
Who did last story, you?
I did, the one with the hiccups.
It's the mystery guest turn with the hiccups.
Does that send chills down your spine?
It did. It did send chills. Yeah. Oh, you're funny. You're funny. You're funny.
Yes. All right, here we go. This actually has the temerity to be under News of the Weird, if anything we've done this evening has been in the news of the normal realm.
Yes.
But robo-medicine is coming at you, everybody. At least two U.S. medical schools so far are early adopters of Dr. Benjamin Locke's and Dr. Carla Pugh's robot butt. Can you say that three times fast? Robot butt. It's for teaching doctors in training to properly and compassionately administer prostate exams.
Why is it called robot butt?
Because the robot, bent over a desk to simulate patient profile, has sensors to alert the students if they dig too deeply or quickly for comfort.
If you dig too deeply, what does the robot do?
You must die. Die. Exactly. Danger. Danger.
Exactly. All right, I'm sorry. Exactly. Go ahead.
Other sensors enable a check on eye contact to evaluate bedside manner. News of the Weird.
Bedside manner with a robot.
With a robot.
Wow, this is like some Battlestar Galactica stuff.
You know, and once again, they've taken a job away from a human being because somebody who needed the money could have done that job.
Well, as robotics advance, a lot of jobs will be taken away.
Yes.
And some will come back. You know, you'll have the robot token giver, you know.
I'm going to let that slide.
Okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah. News of the Weird reported a similar innovation in 2012. By Nobuhiro Takahashi, whose model's sphincter has the ability to clench up if the probing becomes too distressing.
Okay, but clench up and then what? Like then you're trapped?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's visually, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. That's
That's
where we are now.
That's where the training. That's okay. Technology meets medicine.
So they're training on robots to help them deal with people.
That's right.
Good luck with that.
The robo butt clenched itself when you probe too deeply.
Right. So.
Wow. What kind of? I mean, like when you're in the team for that invention, what does that do to you?
Depends. If you're getting paid, it does nice things for you.
Nice things for you.
Right. You turn to your kids. You see this house? Robo butt paid for that.
Exactly.
You like that car you're driving? Robo butt.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you're in the air. Hello. All right, what's the phone number here again?
I believe it's 212-209-2900.
All right, you can call up, but don't play possum.
212-209-2900.
All right, you have a story for us, underage guest.
I have one more. Michigan student selling an ad space on graduation cap. This is in Michigan. A University of Michigan Flint student said he's hoping to make some money towards paying off his student loans by selling ad space on his graduation cap. Alex Benda, 22, an international business major, said he split the top of his 10-inch by 10-inch graduation cap into 100 tiny squares, and he is hoping to sell each square for $300 to completely pay off his $30,000 student loan debt.
Wow. That's only in America we think of that.
It's scary to think I'm about to go out into this economy and find the a job and have all this debt, I'll have to start paying. Benda said, I started thinking, do I have anything available I could sell? Benda said he has already sold $1,200 worth of ad space on crowdsourcing website GoGetFunding.com. I aspire to be an entrepreneur and love out-of-the-box thinking to solve everyday problems, he wrote on his site. I realized that I would have the eyes of every graduating student and their families on me as I walked across the stage to accept my diploma. Benda said his only rule for the ads is to avoid crude and offensive material. There's a button in the middle, so I don't know how they'll work with that square, but we'll make it work if someone buys it, he said. If you want to buy four of them and put a little figurine up there on my hat, I'm fine with it.
Now, what's your take on that, underage guest? Do you think that's innovative or ridiculous?
Whatever gets him that money to get those loans paid off.
What do you say, Mr. Guest?
I agree. That's our culture. That's very innovative.
It is.
We sell ad space everywhere and on everything.
Yes, we certainly do.
So, then he has learned his lesson well. Good work, Jedi.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, who's this?
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah, a lot of great news items tonight. Very, quite an array. I was thinking, it just kind of triggered my mind, is like, maybe for a premise for a reality show, Howie Mandel would be forced to live in a dwelling with one or both of those gentlemen who hadn't bathed in decades.
Okay.
Noted germaphobe.
Exactly.
You know, obviously it's got to be worth his while. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be some kind of money involved, some kind of contest. They have to be awarded something. And,
exactly. Children you know, get shoes, even, maybe.
Yeah, he wouldn't even have to fist bump them, but he would have to use the same, you know, bathroom. He would be granted liberal use of Lysol, however, and maybe even one of those things that they have in the public toilets.
Well, you know, what you could do is you could create like a whole new art form, and there'd be reality plays. You'll take characters from reality and you then put them in a play. Like you have somebody playing the world's dirtiest man, and then, you know, you could put somebody just perfect to put in there with them, like Monk. Mm-hmm. You could take an unrealistic.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
Monk lives with the, you know, and, you know, for an hour.
Even better than Howie Mandel.
There
yes.
It is. What do you say, Mr. Guest?
I loved Monk.
You lo- see?
That was a good show.
Yeah.
Would you put him in with the World's Dirtiest Man? What do you think would happen? Would that be a good play?
Monk wouldn't last a minute.
There it is.
He'd freak out.
He might freak out. And then he'd freak out, and the dirty man would just start putting some feces in his pipe.
While eating a squirrel.
There it is. Exactly.
He's porcupine. Like,
exactly. One day this... And Monk would be on the wall.
And Monk would be calling up his assistant.
There it is.
Get out of there.
Reality plays.
Wipe. I need a wipe.
There it is. Take people from, you know, reality and just throw them in with a fictional character.
Yeah. Twilight would have been a lot different if it was a vampire who didn't bathe.
I think so. But vampires don't need to bathe.
Yeah, well, that's what you think.
Well, you know, you're saying there's such a thing as undead funk?
I'm counting on it.
Give me another good name for a band.
Undead Funk?
Undead Funk.
There you go.
Now also, I believe there's a painting from the, I don't know if it's Salvador Dali or someone else, but it's definitely modern art, Kronos eating his children.
I've heard of that painting, but I haven't seen it. I understand. Now, who else is here? Somebody else is here. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? This is Dave from Alias.
Your name is from what? From who?
I said, hey, what's up? This is Dee from the Lower East Side.
Oh, Dee from the Lower East Side. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up?
All right. So, how long have you been listening to the show?
Actually, on and off for a little while, but I'm just tuning in tonight, and I had a question from Mystery Woman.
Okay. You've graduated.
I've graduated. What can I help you with?
I was just curious about, like, I don't know if it was you... or the host that said that people frighten you. So I just wanted to know a little more about that. And, you know, just...
You did say people.
Okay, I had
Also,
you say you want credit. What do you want credit for?
Oh, it's it was I guess sort of an inside joke because I'm going by mystery guest instead of my actual name. It's then I sort of don't get credit for being here. That's the credit we meant, that I meant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but in terms of, you know, I think I use the word horrify or scare people scare me. It is what human beings can do to each other. You know, man, I guess it's basically man's inhumanity to man. You know, our capacity for cruelty to each other seems to be boundless. And each generation looks back at the one before and goes, how could they do that? And yet we come up with atrocities all our own to match, rival, and surpass, you know, things in history. So I wish that somehow we could get past that, and that's something that's in our nature that I find scary.
Well, can I support your theory in saying there are only two kinds of horror films? There's horror that's supernatural, something supernatural is doing evil things, or the horror that a human being is doing something horrible to other human beings. Those are horror movies. That is what scares us. You concur.
I concur.
She concurs.
And sometimes, I mean, those are more scary.
Yes.
And
clearly they are.
How quickly we can accept that as normal.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, it's interesting. The underage guest was saying that the world seems to be getting smaller. I take the context that we live in the information age, you know, where, you know, literally the best reference for me as a young person to having access to the internet is like having a library that I can carry around with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have access to information endlessly all
yes.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may use it to socialize, but it is the computer, smartphones, all that. It is an access to information. So as a result, you know, in a lot of ways, you now hear about things you would never hear about.
Right.
And human beings are now affected by things they never had the opportunity to hear or be affected by. And clearly humans are always inspired by other humans. And now you can be inspired by things that you would never have heard of.
True.
If you lived somewhere else. So that, I think, has an effect on the future and human beings. That's what I wanted to say about going along with your horrifying thing. You hear about more horrifying things, and more horrifying things happen.
And it doesn't necessarily mean there's more of them.
Exactly.
It's just an awareness
them,
and a more efficient delivery system of that information.
That's right. There, that's so when you say it becomes normal, it's like, yeah, you hear about it all the time now.
Right.
Whereas it was the random shocking, what? He did what? This happened? Now it's pretty.
And it's, I mean, there's a theory that it's actually less violent. If you pull back and look at the bigger picture of humanity, things might have been a little bit more violent in Genghis Khan's time. You know, so our level of violence has in some ways decreased. Not comforting to the person who is a victim of violence right now.
I concur.
All right, this meeting is adjourned.
You have a last story for us?
I do, but I don't want to do it.
Why?
I don't like it.
You want to give it to the underage guest?
Sure. I mean, it's
which one?
It's tedious and annoying.
Just tell me the title.
It's the Spotify Ads Merchandise as Dr. Dre Ready's Beats music. It's
okay.
Like,
okay. And why does it? Why does it?
It doesn't seem up to the caliber of Night Shift, to be honest with you.
Well,
it's sort of a business news story, and I'm not sure why I care.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because I think, now, let me ask you a question. Before you had an iPod, what did you have? Did you have a Walkman?
I don't remember those
player?
Dark times.
You don't remember the dark
times? What are you talking about? What do you mean before?
I understand.
Like before iPod? What?
Before iPod.
Okay, now, before my iPod, what did I have to do what?
What did you have to listen to music on? Did you,
listen
you have to,
music
to rely
on?
The, yeah. Ooh. All right, did you have portable music?
Yeah. I mean, well, there's the radio.
So you more or less relied on whatever was being played at the
whatever
time.
Whatever was being played, and if I liked something and I liked an artist, then I went to the record store.
And bought it.
And I bought it. Right. I bought the whole album.
I understand. And discover what's on there.
Discover what's on there. Or you could buy the single.
Okay. If that was the single that they were promoting.
If that was the single they were promoting. God forbid it was a B-side. Well, now there you are.
So you just laid out a whole scenario where there are a whole series of choices that were made for you. What, you know, what got played on the radio, what you cut you got to hear, what you were able to buy individually, and whether you had to buy the whole album. Whereas now we live in an age where it's all, you know, you got a choice. You can listen to this, you listen to that. And now the latest thing is that as opposed to just being able to go through a store, an online store, now Spotify and Pandora, they're playing music to you based on your taste.
Right. So we're back to someone else making decisions for me.
Exactly. And I'm saying that Dr. Dre now has jumped into the fray with Beats, which is really his branding of something that Monster did. And well, you weren't here when we covered the origin of Monster Cables. Monster Cables was a guy who, you know, Asian guy. He worked in an electronics store, He knew what was selling, but he felt what was being sold was inferior. So
what else is new?
He built a better cable.
Okay.
And it sold for 10, 20 times as much, but people who were really audiophiles would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, Monster Cables were just known as the best cables. You could buy cables for $5, $8 at Radio Shack, or you could spend $80 on Monster Cables. And it was like that for a long time. And then, in my opinion, music being transferred to MP3 and the frequency being downgraded and people listening to on these little tinny speakers, people didn't know good sound.
No.
You know, they had sound, but they didn't know good sound.
Mm-hmm.
So when good headphones come out and you actually try them, and the Dr. Dre Beats, they're not bad. They're pretty good. They're not fantastic, but they're pretty good.
Right, they're not clips.
No, but if you've never heard good headphones,
true,
they sound great. And they are better than,
$100. I have a pair. They're very good.
Exactly. They're better than, you know, $50 or $60 or $75 pair of headphones. And they're well made.
Yes.
And the idea of building a better whatever it is is always a good idea. So Monster did the same thing they did with cables. They did with headphones. They were smart enough to brand it with the best selling music artist type of genre and all that, and that street cred, and Dr. Dre Beats. And now, just like everything else that starts one place, like AOL started as one thing and then eventually, you know, 8 Time Warner, now Dr. Dre Beats, Monster, now they're not just going to try and make your music sound good. They're going to tell you what music you should listen to, and they're going to sell it to you, too.
Right.
And the reason I want you to read the article is what their quote-unquote innovation is of how they're going to do it.
Okay.
Should I have the young person read it, or you want the young?
Sure. I'll read it.
Underage.
Oh, she's tired. Music streaming service Spotify is now allowing merchandise sales through its player as it prepares itself for the arrival of a major new rival. The arrival of a new major rival. Can you say that? That's cool. Dr. Dre is set to launch his Beats music service in the U.S. on Tuesday.
That's today.
That's right now. Spotify's foray into merchandising is seen as the site's latest way to improve its relationship with artists and record labels. The company said it would not be taking any percentage of the products sold through its platform. Yet. Like, remember when ATM fees were free?
Exactly. Yes,
it's free to get your money out. Go ahead. Just do it. And then 10 years later, when the dealer got you hooked, $2 a transaction.
Same thing with texting. Same thing with everything else. It's cheap at first.
Yeah, and that's the hook, yeah.
Yep.
First bag's free.
Until it becomes habit.
Habit. Well, thanks to Target, we might all be rediscovering cash.
Hey, you know.
Like, what are these little green pieces of paper? What's that? All right. Compared with services like Apple's iTunes, where music is bought, streaming sites offer revenues that are regarded by some as unreasonably minuscule. Radiohead's Tom York took his work off Spotify in July last year, declaring on Twitter that he was, quote, standing up for our fellow musicians. Tom Pekinkis, deputy editor of Music Week, said Spotify's main thrust recently is transparency. That's what the artists have been crying out for a while now. The market as a whole is slowly but surely winning over the last few artists that are holding out from the service. As part of the effort, Spotify has recently sought to include other ways for artists and labels to earn money. In conjunction with London-based startup Songkick, Spotify suggests local gigs and concerts based on the music a user has been listening to. Announcing the plans, Spotify's head of artistic services, Mark Williamson, said, "We're really excited that Spotify's 24 million music-loving users, yep, 24 million, can now see merchandise and concerts while listening to their favorite artists, and that we, in turn, can provide additional revenue opportunities for artists of all sizes."
Well, there it is.
Well, there's actually more.
Okay.
Keeping artists on side will be a key part of any streaming site's continued success as the market becomes more crowded. Beats Music will now be competing not only with Spotify, but the likes of Pandora, Radio, Bloom.fm, Deezer, and Google Play, which all offer similar services. Various music professionals and DJs have been enlisted by the firm to create expert playlists rather than algorithm-based approach used by other sites. Quote, "We remember a time when a robot found us magic, but all we could find were the times when a robot made us laugh," the company said in a blog post poking fun at all existing services. You like Pantera? Have you heard of Black Sabbath? You like Mumford and Sons? Here's another song with banjos. Ha 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 ha. Dr. Dre's involvement in the headphone industry, which started with the launch of Beats in 2008, has attracted hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue.
2008.
That's
not long at all. Go ahead.
Not at all.
Took over.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue and spawned a vast array of other artist-endorsed headphone products. Mr. P said the strength of the Beats brand alone set the music service apart as a credible rival. It's a big company with a lot of marketing resource, and that gives the implication that it could be a significant player. There are a lot of different players in the market now, and the struggles of some of them financially are well documented. To clutter the market further, another streaming service from a controversial internet tycoon, Kim.com, was launched on Monday. His offering, Baboom, went live with a single album available to play. Wow. Mr. Dotcom's own release, Good Times. Wow. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's actually, he's currently fighting extradition charges in the U.S., finding extradition to the U.S. on charges of copyright infringement. Do we really get people on that?
Other countries, those Russian sites and this,
Asian sites.
There they are.
Yeah.
So the
innovation is, newsflash, DJs making your playlist instead of the computer.
Exactly.
So we're going back to the people.
We went from having an algorithm figure out what kind of music you liked now to having quote-unquote experts, to having human beings who actually have a knowledge and history of music helping you figure out what to play, almost like a DJ would back in the day when you were listening on the radio.
So retro's back. So real people doing things now.
There it is.
Money's making a comeback.
Everything
you heard it here first.
Old is new again.
Wow.
So that's the Life is Like Science Fiction of it. Now I think you get it now.
Well, next thing you know, people will be playing real instruments.
No,
that's too far. No. That's too science fictiony.
Underage guest? Yes. Are you gone? Did you have a last story? Are you done? Your stories are finished. And you finish your stories, Mr. Guest. Well, there it is. Well, there was somebody here on the phone. Hello, you're on the air?
Hello, are you guys killing the radio? You realize nobody's interested in that stuff you're talking about?
Well, how come you've been listening an hour then, though?
You know something? I turned away and
you came back.
And I said, what time you guys are going off the fucking air, man? This is nonsense.
All right, we'll be on till about 6:30 tomorrow evening. So there it is.
Keep listening.
Anyway.
Wow.
Well, you know.
What? How thick are those chains that are forged that are tying him to that radio?
He tuned away, but he tuned back. So. Anyway, you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI. You can like us on Facebook, and it's NITESHIFT, Night Shift. We're on Mondays from midnight till 3 a.m., much to the chagrin of that caller. And for those who do like Night Shift, we have a website where you can listen to shows going back for over 5 years. Life is like science fiction, all one word, .com. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Night Shift, NITESHIFTZ. So at Night Shift Z. And Mr. Guest?
Yes.
Anything? Do we follow anything? Is there any kind of undercover? You don't have at Mystery Guest?
I do not.
How could you not? How is that possible?
It's only my identity here.
I understand. And you're listening to Night Shift. Next up is Jimmy Dore. Can I ask you one last question?
Always.
What are you looking forward to most in this coming year?
Stability, peace, and love.
And do you believe you say looking forward, and when I say looking forward, so you're looking forward to them, you believe they will come. You're making them come.
Don't I have to?
That's a matter of opinion.
Why else get out of bed?
Underage guest.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to most in the coming year? And please talk on the microphone.
Stability.
Ah.
Some sort of recognition or success and money.
You're looking forward to money.
Aren't we all?
There it is. you know, I too am looking forward to money. Where's the money? Anything else you want to tell me? Any words of wisdom you want to leave with those?
Yes, me.
Any more nonsense you want to tell us?
No.
Yeah, well, they said you were saying nonsense.
Embrace the change.
Embrace the change.
Before it drowns you.
Okay, I'll give a quote. Often, the room for what you want is filled with what you've settled for. Until next week, this has been Night Shift. You can email us, lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. I'm going to play, did I ever say Schmog City to you?
No.
Oh, this is some German rap. Are you into German rap?
I love Germans. Yeah. I like rap.
You love Germany.
Bring on the Wiener Schnitzel.
Okay. This is a song called Smog City by a group called Deutschkind.
Not Deutschkind. They are so cute.
Good answer.
They got a guy in there, sounds like the German Biggie.
Oh my goodness.
All right, wait, somebody's calling. Hello, you're in the air.
Yes, man. You got to give us some more movie recommendations more often. You're forgetting about them.
You know, I didn't cover any movies, but I did see the new Jack Ryan. I liked it. I thought it's worth seeing. I do not feel that it had to be a Jack Ryan film, but I did enjoy it. I surprisingly enjoyed Costner in it as well. And Chris Pine, you know, he's solid. He's solid enough. It doesn't bring anything new to the genre, but the premise is good. And I enjoyed it.
I'm going to hang up. Name about 3 more independent ones.
Oh, there's no way I could do that quickly. But if you stay tuned, I promise next week I will.
All right. In der City stehen Betonblocks. Wir atmen smog ein. In der City stehen Betonblocks. Wir atmen smog ein. Die City stress. In der City stehen Betonblocks. Wir atmen smog ein.
Ich hab die Augen weit geöffnet, immer auf der Hut wie ein Dschungeltier. Wenn du den Mut verlierst, ist das Herz nicht dumm von dir. Denn in der City musst du durch Leute verstumpfen hier. Jeder geht an dir vorbei und ich schauber wie Dunkelbier. Ich weiß nicht den Grund dafür, vielleicht sind zu viele hier. Die meisten sind überfordert.